Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 62 to close at 24,768. S&P 500 up 11 at 2,722. NASDAQ Composite up 46 at 7,398. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 16 at 1,616. That's a record. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points at 3.1%. Oil up 23 cents at $71.54 per barrel. Gold down 10 cents at $12.91.20 per ounce. Stocks recovered. Bonds did not. Smaller companies continued to outperform their larger rivals, with the Russell 2000 reaching a record high. The Russell 2000 is up about 5% year-to-date. The S&P 500 index rose above its average price for the past 100 days. The S&P 500 is up about 1% year-to-date, but still down 5.5% from its January 26th high. Bonds have just cratered over the past couple of days, pushing the yield on the 10-year note up 10 basis points to the highest level in 7 years. The 2-year Treasury note yield also notched a new multi-year high of 2.59%, its highest since August 11, 2008. Yields have been on the move higher this month ever since the Fed said back May 2nd that inflation was moving closer to its 2% target. Earlier inflation expectations led to a rise in interest rates back in February. You'll remember that sparked a widespread equity sell-off as stock traders grew nervous over whether the economy was ready for increased borrowing cost. For now, the equity markets seem fairly sanguine about the recent spike in rates. Weeks of diplomatic progress were thrown into doubt when North Korea postponed high-level talks with Seoul and threatened to pull out of its historic meeting with the U.S. The uncertainty compounded investor jitters ahead of United States-China trade negotiations. Mexican negotiators say they don't expect North American trade talks to wrap up this week after all. The likelihood that an early rewrite of the North American Free Trade Agreement won't be done this week extends the uncertainty for companies with complex cross-border supply chains. The countries are divided over issues such as a U.S. demand for a minimum level of North American content to be sold without tariffs in the U.S. Mexican officials also are frustrated by U.S. demands for the pact to sunset in 5 years, which Mexico's economy minister says would add uncertainty for automakers. Facebook shares were the biggest drag on the S&P 500, down about 0.6%, on news that Chief Executive Mark Zuckerberg would appear before members of the European Parliament to answer questions about the improper use of users' data. Zuckerberg's appearance will not be open to the public. Zuckerberg has faced strong criticism from British MPs for his 3 refusals to appear before a British parliamentary committee investigating fake news. Potentially adding to their frustration, the Facebook boss will meet the French president, Emmanuel Macron, next Wednesday. Zuckerberg's trip to Europe comes ahead of the EU's data protection regulation, which comes into play on May 25th. It's a landmark law allowing any individual in Europe to ask a company for data held about them. The Senate Judiciary Committee has released more than 2,500 pages of testimony and documents. The committee's been conducting one of the investigations into the Trump campaign's contacts with Russians, and the documents revealed new levels of detail about the run-up and the aftermath of what is thought to be one of the key episodes of the Trump campaign's interactions with Russia. The data dump includes new details on Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with Russians in Trump Tower. The release came on the same day that another Senate panel, the Intelligence Committee, gave bipartisan validation to a more than year-old assessment by American intelligence agencies about the Russian effort, announcing that, after careful review, it agreed that Russian President Putin ordered an influence campaign designed to sow discord, hurt the Clinton campaign, and boost Trump's candidacy. Also today, Trump released his financial disclosure filing with the Office of Government Ethics, which requires top officials to disclose their assets, income, and liabilities. The filing says that Trump fully reimbursed his lawyer, Michael Cohen. Cohen is known for paying porn star Stormy Daniels $130,000 in hush money to silence her about an alleged affair with Trump. The filing gives conflicting accounts about the reasons for the payment. At issue is whether the payment represented a personal expense or an unreported loan to Trump's campaign, which could run afoul of federal election law. Factory production regained its footing in April to push capacity utilization to the highest since 2015, indicating industry will support economic growth this quarter. Factory output rose 0.5% month over month, that matched estimates, after being unchanged in March. Housing starts dropped 3.7% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.28 million units in April. Data for March was revised slightly higher. Single-family home building, which accounts for the largest share of the housing market, edged up 0.1%. Groundbreaking activity on multifamily housing units dropped 11.3%. Residential construction has been hamstrung by rising prices for building materials and shortages of land and skilled workers. A survey on Thursday showed confidence among single-family home builders perked up in May. Builders complain, though, that the record high cost of lumber is hurting builders' bottom lines and making it more difficult to produce competitively priced houses for newcomers to the market. The Trump administration in April last year imposed anti-subsidy duties on imports of Canadian softwood lumber. Investment in home building was flat in the first quarter after growing at a 12.8% annualized rate in the October-December quarter. The first comprehensive study of the massive pay gap between the U.S. executive suite and average workers has found that the average CEO-to-worker pay ratio has now reached 339-1, with the highest gap approaching 5,000-1. The study includes data on almost 14 million workers at 225 U.S. companies with total annual revenues of $6.3 trillion. In 188 of the 225 companies in the report's database, a single chief executive's pay could be used to pay more than 100 workers. The average worker at 219 of the 225 companies studied would need to work at least 45 years to earn what their CEO makes in 1 year. According to a recent Bloomberg analysis of 22 major world economies, the average CEO-worker pay gap in the U.S. far outpaces that of other industrialized nations. The average U.S. CEO makes more than four times his or her counterpart in other countries analyzed. The Senate today voted 52-47, with three Republicans joining all the Democrats and independents in favor of a resolution to eliminate the Republican-led Federal Communications Commission's December gutting of earlier rules to establish net neutrality. Critics of the FCC rollback say they're worried about consumers being forced to pay more for less consistent or slower internet service. The win could be short-lived. The Senate measure needs to win a vote in the House, where Republicans have a larger majority, and to get a signature from Trump, who supports the FCC's action to kill net neutrality. Now, net neutrality does not make for catchy campaign slogans, but there are indicators that voters are clocking this issue. According to data provided by Google, net neutrality regularly ranks among top political searches in each state. The retailing index got a boost today from a 10% surge in Macy's shares. The department store operator reported strong quarterly results and lifted its full-year profit forecast. Shares of rivals Kohl's and Nordstrom were up about 2% each. Macy's is off to a better start to 2018 than anyone saw coming, including Macy's itself. On a call with investors to discuss the company's first quarter, CEO Jeff Gennette said the momentum picked up at the end of last year during the 2017 holiday season, carried into the start of the new year. He noted, in fact, it exceeded our own expectations on most measures. Sales, earnings, and cash flow all came in ahead of what the company predicted, prompting the retailer to raise its outlook for the rest of the year. Cisco Systems beat earnings and revenue estimates and gave an upbeat forecast for fiscal fourth quarter sales, a signal of healthy demand for equipment and software that runs the internet and corporate networks. The stock dropped about 4% in after-hours trade. Ford is resuming production of its F-Series pickup trucks, ending assembly line shutdowns at two of its most important plants that have lasted more than a week. Returning to full production is likely to take some time as Ford scrambles to reestablish manufacturing of critical components from a supplier. Ford suspended production of the F-Series last week due to a lack of critical components from its supplier Meridian Lightweight Technologies. Meridian's plants in Michigan suffered extensive damage after an explosion and fire in early May. Ford, along with BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and General Motors, were forced to suspend or curb production at several U.S. plants while looking for an alternate source for components. It's estimated Ford lost the production of 70 to 80,000 F-150 pickups since shutting down assembly lines. Ford has said it expects financial results for the second quarter will take a hit. The exact cost remains to be seen. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 62 to finish the session at 24,768. S&P 500 up 11 at 2,722. NASDAQ up 46 at 7,398. And the Russell 2000 hits a record high at 1,616. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, text, audio, and much more, all free at eatthebankers.com.